Our text this morning is going to be our gospel text from today, John 20, verse 19 through 31. As you're flipping there in your copy of the scriptures, let's pray and ask God to be with us this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, you are good and gracious to us. Pray as we look into your word this morning that you would guide us and direct us. That you would send your spirit among us to uplift us where we need to be uplifted, to be convicted where we need to be convicted. Pray that you would be with the hearer and the preacher this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Sometimes it is hard to believe that you've won. It's hard to believe that you are on the side that has gained victory. It can be difficult to realize this. Now we see this in stories and different things that we encounter all the time. Frodo and Sam, for instance. It took them forever, it seems, to go through everything that they went through and then finally go and throw the ring into Mount Doom. It's tough. You could kind of wonder, is that it? Did we get there? You know, what else is there? Yeah, they took so long. How long did it take for it to sink in with them? The U.S. hockey team defeated the Russians in 1980. Incredible. Did they realize that they had won right away? I don't know. I venture maybe not. There are other examples that we have of people who seemingly snatched victory from the jaws of defeat. We think of Joseph as he's in prison. As he's in prison, he wonders, you know, am I ever going to get out of here? And yet, there he is running all of Egypt except for Pharaoh. The Israelites, as they're surrounded by their enemies, in such a way that they thought, oh man, how are we ever going to get out of this? And yet God delivered them through the armies of heaven. Jesus battles death. And he wins. His disciples, it seems that they wondered a bit. They were unsure. You see, sometimes winners don't understand that they've won. Sometimes the victor doesn't have that victory sink in right away. This is difficult. It can be tough for us to understand that we have indeed won. Think of the stories that you hear of folks who have been in war for years and years, and they're off in a hill country somewhere, and they haven't heard, or maybe they heard that the victory has been won, that their side has won, but they just don't know yet, so they're still holed up there in their part of the world. Battle's still on in their minds, even though they've won. Think of the U.S. hockey team. I'm sure there was a couple of them who, instead of cheering just right away, blank face, had not sunk in yet. Did we really do it? Did we win? They couldn't believe their eyes. And now our disciples, as we look at them today, knowing that Jesus has risen from the grave, knowing that the tomb is empty, they still doubt. Look at our text today. Our text today shows us some very interesting things, some things that just blow your mind, that they'll show you that even in the face of this doubt, I don't know if we've won or not. I don't understand. I can't believe my eyes. What's in front of me? We see Jesus say this. He says, "Peace be with you." This wasn't just a greeting. It was a greeting, but it wasn't just a greeting. Remember, it says here in verse 19, on the evening of that day, this is still the day of the resurrection. They have seen the empty tomb. They have gone back to their place, locked themselves in, and here they are, processing everything that's gone on in the last 24 hours. Our Lord is risen. Do we believe our eyes? Jesus greets them with peace. The battle that's been fought on your behalf has brought you peace. The devil and death have no more power over you. I have won the victory. And Jesus goes on in several other places, seven to be exact. Believe. Believe in me. Trust in me. Believe in me. Don't disbelieve, but believe what I have told you. See, so many things had happened in the last 24 hours for these disciples. they had woken up and seen the empty tomb, heard from the ladies who were at the tomb. Jesus is risen. He's not here anymore. And as they went on their separate ways and they looked, and Peter ran back and forth several times, and John was in a foot race with them. And what do we do with this? Two disciples are on the road to Emmaus and they're talking to somebody and they don't recognize him. It's Jesus. They turn around, head back. I got to tell the disciples, Jesus is alive. He's risen. We've seen him with our eyes. We didn't know it was him, but it was him. And in the book of Luke, we see that when the disciples come and the disciples are there, and Jesus appears to the disciples, same as happens in our passage today. Jesus says, "Why did doubts arise in your heart?" It wasn't just Thomas that was doubting on this day. It was all of them. Each of them. But Jesus didn't leave them in their doubts. He didn't necessarily answer all their questions either. What was it that Jesus did? He combated their doubt with peace, with the understanding of the gospel, with the proclamation that he has done what he said he was going to do. He didn't answer all their questions. He didn't take all their doubts and throw them away, but he gave them the peace of hope that comes through the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he has died and risen, and he has brought salvation with him. So today, I want you to understand this, that Christ gives peace to the doubting Christian. You may be asking, Dan, how does God do this? Several different ways. We'll look at a few this morning. Look at our text. Look at verse 19. The same day, angels, women running, John racing, Peter losing, rode to Emmaus. They've locked themselves in. Now notice what it says here, that they locked themselves behind the doors, plural, multiple doors. In the ancient architecture, you think of the outer gate, there's a door there, and then a door into the domicile, the place where they were actually living. They had said, well, here's our first line of defense, locked. Nobody's going to get in here. Second line of defense, lock that. They're not going to get in here. Why? Because they were afraid of the Jews. I mean, I think I understand why. The Jews had wanted Christ dead. Now here, his body is missing. Where is he? Are the Jews going to come after you? Maybe. The possibilities are high, but who knows? We're locking these doors. We're going to hide inside. We are afraid. Even though they'd heard, Jesus is alive. He has risen from the dead. A lot of information for these disciples to process. They came together in the evening, locked the doors and said, we got to figure this out. What is it that we're going to do? Jesus was dead. He was in the grave. The tomb's empty. Angels showed up. He's alive. I mean, we've had time to think this through. We have the scriptures to read and mull over. We have whole calendars built around understanding these things. But they experienced all of this from death to resurrection in the span of 3.5 days. Push it into 4, depending on how slow the people walked. How would you understand these things? As much as you believed in what Jesus has said for the last 3 years, you'd have some doubts. Not that you would doubt what Christ says, but you would doubt, I don't know what I'm looking at here. What is it that I'm seeing in front of me? I don't know what's going on. How could you? Well, Jesus told you. But still, put in those same situations, I would act a lot like they did. And where is Jesus? Jesus arrives. The first locked door was no challenge for him, and neither was a second. He appears in the midst of them. And what does he tell them? Peace be with you. The peace that I've secured is here for you. Peace be with you. And then he says, guys, look, let's help you process this a little bit. Look at my hands, nail scars. Look at my feet. Look at my side where they were pierced me through. And as they took the time to look and to ponder and to think on these things, Jesus answers them again and he greets them. He says, peace be with you. The peace of God was there to calm their doubts and fears. They still had questions. They still didn't know everything that was going on. They still didn't have all the answers. But what they had was Jesus in front of them giving them his peace. And the peace that only comes from his resurrection. It doesn't stop there. Look at what it says down here in verse 21. Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so I am sending you. You've got work to do. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. I am sending you out even as the Father has sent me to give you peace and hope and life. I send you out by the power of the Spirit to proclaim the same message to the whole world. Remember, the Holy Spirit hovered over the face of the waters when breath was breathed into mankind. And here this the Holy Spirit as Jesus breathes new life into those who were dead in their trespasses and sins. This is an amazing thing that is happening here, that Jesus is bringing to them the salvation that he promised to them. And then he says this, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. Forgiveness of sins is real and true and there for them to grasp. Because Christ has told them, your sins are forgiven. Now they had seen the Romans kill Jesus. They had seen the Jews hate Jesus. They, in their own ways, had abandoned him at certain times, running away when he needed them most. There was shame and fear and anxiety in that room that night when Jesus met with them. And in the midst of those struggles, what does Jesus say to them? Peace be with you. The broken hearts of the disciples were met with peace. Their need for forgiveness was met by the Holy Spirit and the gospel. Their sins were forgiven. These disciples had looked at the devil and death in the eye as they saw their Savior hanging upon the cross. Their hope darkened as the sun went black that day. Easter morning, they saw a bright light of hope that they didn't quite understand, knowing that he is not here, he is risen. And now they're locked up in a house for fear of those who would come and kill them, like soldiers who don't know that they've won the war. They have doubts. Jesus delivered this message himself. He wanted them to know, victory has been won. Peace has been brought to you. I am alive. He delivered it with nail prints and scars and Holy Spirit and gospel. He gave them grace. Doubts are understandable. We think about the things that happened in these times of doubts. Who had ever heard of these things happening before? Let alone so many of them all at once. You know, I know Jesus told us that these things were going to happen, but is that what we're seeing now? Is this how it's going to look? I know Jesus said that these were here. I don't know. I believe, but I don't know if I believe all the way. These things are understandable. There's so many things that could cause us to have doubts about Christ, his resurrection, the gospel, So many things that we may just not understand that may cause us to doubt. And yet, what is it that Jesus met the disciples with and us with today? He meets us with a message, peace be with you. Jesus has risen from the dead. He's given you preachers to declare this message to you each and every week. He has given us the Lord's Supper to remember and to participate in his body and blood. He has given us the forgiveness of sins, and we declare this forgiveness of sins with those comfortable words, and in Christ, your sins are forgiven. Jesus forgave the sins of these men and friends. Those apostles had doubts. These disciples didn't understand. But they believed anyway in the message that was brought to them. And their sins were forgiven. In the midst of all of these things, it was Christ who brought peace to a doubting people. Well, one of them wasn't there that day. Thomas wasn't there. I don't know where he was. He was off somewhere. I can speculate. I have no good reason to know where he was. But we know that he went off and he came back. Ask our question again. How does God give peace to the doubting Christian? Because Thomas here has doubts as well. He had people sent to him. He had been given friends who saw the risen Lord. Now, Thomas, I'll be honest with you, he makes sense. He's rational. You see all of this happen in the last 4 days, especially the last 24 hours. You understand that your Lord is risen again, but you don't know where. You don't know who's seen him, who hasn't. These things are just uncertain to you. You come into a place where all the doors are locked. They say, we've seen Jesus right here. We saw his hands. We saw his feet. We saw his side. We saw him. He breathed on us, gave us the Holy Spirit. He forgave us our sins. If I'm Thomas, I'm sure you people haven't slept very well in the last few days. You're sure you weren't dreaming? I understand your desire to see Jesus again, but did you actually? Are you sure it wasn't something else? Did you see something that you thought was Jesus? It makes sense. It's a rational response. There's a lot of things that went on in the life of these disciples. Those are a lot of reasons to say, hey, I don't know if these guys are all there. They may have been missing something along the way. But look at this, verse 26. 8 days later. 8 days later. 8 days of him having to know. They said that Jesus came and saw me. Thomas said, well, it's been 8 days. Where is he? I want to see these nail scars. If I don't see them, I'm not believing. And he waits. And he waits. And 8 days later, Jesus appears. He says, peace be with you. Thomas, you wanted to see my hands and my feet and my side. Here they are. They're right there in front of you. And immediately, what does Thomas say? He says, my Lord and my God. Thomas had doubts, but what met Thomas in his place of doubt was the peace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christ was enough for Thomas. Sometimes there are reasons that make sense to us to not believe, reasons to doubt. Oh, that guy over there made a good argument. Maybe I shouldn't believe everything that I've been taught here in the church and in the scriptures. Maybe they throw some doubt on what you've been taught is true. Just because something is rational, just because it makes sense to you, doesn't mean that thing is correct. You see, we are small. We're finite. God is big. He is infinite. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are deeper than our thoughts. There is no way that we are possibly going to understand everything that happens in this world and how it fits together, let alone adding in the spiritual realm to that. We cannot know. And it's that not knowing that eats at us as humans. That's where our doubts arise from. It's from not knowing and little lies that get thrown in amongst the unknowingness that we have. The enemy wanting to see us hate our God. Even the disciples who had a front row seat to all these events doubted. They did not know. And they didn't know even when they had Jesus proclaim victory to them. Because we know that he told them, go and meet me over here in Galilee on the mountain. And they went and they worshiped, and some still doubted. But did they believe? Does having doubts mean that you don't believe? And the answer is no. All of them trusted Christ with what they were able to trust him with at the time. What are you getting at, Dan? Remember Job. Story of Job, Bible, Old Testament. I know I'm changing gears. I'm trying to give you time to press in the clutch. Job is a great story. It was tough to read because these people, oh, they're frustrating. But Job had everything. He had people. His family, his servants, his wealth. He had everything somebody could want, and it was taken from him. And as it was taken from him, and he was left in ashes, scraping boils off of his skin, he had three friends that came and sat with him and started speaking with him. And as he and his friends were speaking back and forth, they all said true things about God. And they were wrong. They were wrong because they didn't know what God had in mind. They didn't know the plan that was working out itself in Job's story. They didn't have all the information. All they had is what God had revealed to them. And all God wanted Job to do was to say, Lord, you're my God. Though you slay me, I will praise you. It's tough to think through the things in this life and not remember that we don't have all the answers, that we can't have all the answers, that there's some things that are just going to be too much for us to understand. God met Job and his friends and said, guys, you don't know what you're talking about. Were you there when I measured out the oceans in my hand? Or set the stars in the sky? And the fact is, they weren't. And neither were we. We don't know everything that God is doing. And sometimes it can look like he doesn't know what he's doing either. But those are just looks to us. And those times we have to remember that the promises of God are stronger than our perception of what reality is. God has told us certain things, and we must trust in him because he does understand the way that the world works, because he has created it and placed us in it to glorify him. You see, there are 1,000 reasons that we can come up with in our own frailty to not believe what God has told us. There are 1,000 reasons why this story won't make sense, or why I'm not worthy of salvation, or why my sins are just too much, or he can't forgive me. But the fact of the matter is, he has told us that we, when we come to Christ and look to him for salvation, find him to be that perfect Savior because he has done what he said he was going to do on our behalf. It's okay to have doubts. We are human. But we must trust that Jesus has died for our sins and risen again for our justification. We have to be like that one in the New Testament who went and sought the health of his son and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe what you have said, but there are things that I can't get past. Change me. And if I can't understand, grant me your peace. We're just people. We're just humans. We're not going to understand everything. But Jesus has come and he's died. He has battled sin and the grave. And he doesn't ask us to understand everything perfectly along the way. He tells us to believe that he has done it and done it for us, that we may have life in him. Look at verse 29. Jesus said to him, still talking to Thomas, "Have you believed because you've seen me?" Yeah, that's why Thomas believed. Also, God helped him in his belief. But listen to what he says here. "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." I have not seen the risen Lord. I'm going to venture to say that you haven't either. There's a special blessing for those who hear the word of God and believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed, who have trusted in Christ at his word. And then if any of you are familiar with comic books, John does something that you never do in comic books. He breaks that fourth wall. Don't understand, this side of the comic, front of the comic that you can look at, here's a side over here. Everything happens in those walls. Fourth wall points back towards the one reading the comic. And in this moment, John turns around, takes the camera, places it on you. And he says in verse 30, "Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book." He said, guys, there's so much else that I haven't told you that Jesus has done to prove who he is. There is so much more that you don't know. In fact, later on in John, he tells us that if all the world had all the skies and the pens, I'm messing this up big time. But if you had all the space in the world to write down everything that Jesus did, couldn't do it. Jesus has done so much for us. And then he says, but I've written these down that you may hear and you may believe. And what he has written down for us is this gospel. He wrote down the things that the disciples saw, but he also wrote down these for us. He said, Jesus has turned water into wine. Jesus healed a sick child. There was a paralytic who couldn't walk, and Jesus let him walk. There was 5,000 plus hungry folks, and Christ fed them. There was water, and Jesus walked across it. There was a man born blind, and he was healed. Lazarus was raised from the dead, and he has done all of this that you may believe that what Jesus has said about himself is true, that Jesus has come to die for your sins. He laid in the grave and has risen up again that you may have eternal life. The Bible is big. The world is huge. There's plenty to not get. There's plenty to misunderstand. There's plenty that we can have doubts about. But doubt is no reason not to believe the clear promises of Jesus Christ. Remember, these disciples would leave here and worship Christ on the mountain in Galilee, and yet some doubted. Jesus has surrounded them and us with the power of His Holy Spirit, with His scriptures, with the sacraments, with the loving church family, with our pastors to guide us and to direct us, to show us, to preach to us the gospel that Jesus Christ has come on our behalf. He has given us that gospel that we may believe and that we may have life in Him. That message that He gave to these disciples here in the upper room, where He said, "Peace be with you," is that same message that is proclaimed to you today. Peace be with you. Doubting Christian, you who don't see your way out of the situation you're in, trust in Christ. Those who believe, "Can my sins be forgiven?" Yes, they can. They can be forgiven in Jesus Christ. Those of you who don't know how you're going to get through, peace be with you, because Christ has brought you to be with Him if you believe in His name and trust in His gospel. The Holy Spirit is active and working. And we all still have doubts about certain things here or there, and that's fine. Don't let that stop you from coming to Christ today. Don't let that stop you from believing that Jesus has died and risen again, that you may have life with Him evermore. It's Jesus who gives us peace in the midst of our doubts. He won't answer every question. He won't figure out every situation for us. But we will have the peace to know that we are safely His, and that He will bring us to the end. Won't you find your peace in Christ today? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are good and gracious to us. We pray that even as we go through this life and we don't understand everything, that You would grant us Your peace. You are good and merciful to us. We pray that Your Spirit would continually preach this gospel to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.